Nice.
Do you want to lick it?
Odds
on.
Okay.
Okay, one and two.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Three,
one,
two,
one.
Oh, yeah.
You like it? Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two night stand, baby.
Hello, welcome back to Two Night Stand. I'm Bella.
I'm Jake.
And this is...
Two Night Stand.
Yeah. Two Night Stand. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, you're probably wondering, why are these people so tanned?
We're not, though.
Who are these people? Because we feel like we've been gone for ages, but we really haven't to you guys.
We've just returned back from Mexico. 2 weeks turned into three.
Yeah.
We felt like little backpackers.
Well, Jake did, because he's never got on a bus that's not... He's never got on a bus full stop.
I mean, it was a coach with a TV on it, but still, I felt like a backpacker.
Yeah, he was like, we travelled. It was the furthest thing from backpacking. We had many suitcases.
It was just the craziest feeling, because we were booked in for 2 weeks, and then we had our flight back, and then that day we were like, nope, yeah, we're not fucking leaving.
Literally that day we were like, nah, we're not going. So we started in Cancun. I'm not really a fan of Cancun because it's just very commercial. The food is really bad. If anybody is going there to experience Mexican culture, I wouldn't go there. We went to Tulum. And every time that we told someone in Mexico we were going to Tulum, they were like, oh, you must have loads of money. But yeah, it's because it's really fucking expensive.
It is expensive, which makes no sense, because it feels like you're in the middle of nowhere and it's like this dirt track, but then there's just really expensive beach clubs. I got really tired of Tulum really quick. I actually preferred, out of all the places, our last week, which was Playa.com. Mm, nice.
Yes. So the last week we were like, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Playa.com. And I'm not going to lie, Tulum is beautiful. But yeah, it's just very like a very backwards. So we were like, meh, let's just go somewhere else. Playa del Carmen is like the perfect mix between Tulum and
Cancun?
Tulum and Cancun.
Yeah, it's so, like a mix of the two.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's giving like American Benidorm.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah. there was nice no places, really nice restaurants. I said, Tulum, I'm turning 30 now. Like one beach club in and I was fucked, so.
Yeah. One funny thing is, though, is that every time that we went into a restaurant, they'd go, we need pictures for our Facebook. And we'd be like, all right, then. So then we'd be like,
yeah.
And then suddenly comes out with a tequila bottle, like, I got your face on a tequila bottle.
Yeah,
And I'd be like, no, I thought it was for your Facebook. But they'd always ask us to kiss. And I'm like, he's using that for later.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. What's that word? Like, every time that we got asked for a photo, like, I was like, oh, they want us on their Facebook. But then when they turned out just to be a money-making scheme, it was very,
yeah.
It was very grounding to know that actually no one knows who the fuck we are.
I know. It's because we're so famous. But yeah, I hit 100K on Instagram.
You did? Congratulations.
Which is a mad thing.
Been a long time coming.
It has.
Actually, a short time coming at the same time. Like, it's been, like, all the hard work that's coming, because I don't know if anyone knows, but Bella... I think it was like, what, November last year, you actually lost your main Instagram?
Yes.
So you started from zero.
Oh my God, literally. So no, it was August, right?
Yeah.
Because we were at Boomtown.
That was it, yeah.
Which is a festival in the UK, if you're listening from anywhere else. So we were at a festival. I'm like really drunk, yeah, because I'm like, this is my day off. It's probably one of the first times that I'd had off in about a year and a half. And I was literally like, right. And then literally I go to scroll on Instagram and the signal wasn't that good there. And I was like, oh, it's gone. And I walked down to Jake and I went, my Instagram's just been deleted, because at this point he was managing me. And
that technically wasn't. It was actually a week before.
It was a week before. And I was like, and he goes, oh, fantastic. And I was like, yeah. So thank you to everyone for following me on Instagram, and obviously the people mainly who are supporting Two Night Stand at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
100%.
Amazing. I mean, we're going to take from a positive note to a negative note. Today's episode is on breakups, because you can't have any bad relationship without a breakup. It's part of relationships. And honestly,
you can't have the highs without having the lows. That's the saying.
Exactly. So, you know, there's five stages of breakups.
I do, actually.
Yeah? Oh, you've been through all of them?
Yeah, yeah.
I see that from you.
Back in my days when I'm just sat in my room crying in a corner, like desperately looking for advice.
You give me cry.
Yeah.
You give me quite a break.
I'm desperately trying to not let too much past trauma come out in today's episode. So.
It's coming out. I'm not going to lie to you. But yeah, so one thing that people need to actually remember when it comes to breakups is that it is a stage of grief. Like, people act like relationships aren't something to grieve over, but they really are. You're losing a person.
And this is stage one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But first you go through denial. So your first, that's your first stage. So I'm saying that when you first break up with someone, there's five stages of grief.
Yeah.
So it is grief.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But there's five stages underneath that. So the first one's denial. So I think we've all been through that. I 100%, when I broke up with my first boyfriend, I was like, oh, I didn't even really like you that much anyway. Like, yeah. I broke up with him and I was like, and then the next one is anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's bargaining after that. So it's just like, oh, well, I'm probably going to be better off without them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then there's depression, which where you are like, oh my God, I can't live anymore because I've lost that person. And then there's acceptance. And then you're like, right.
And then you've got your life back on track. And then
that's when it happens. So that happens with any stages of grief anyway, regardless of whether you're losing a person in a breakup or losing a family member or, you know, any friendship relationships, anything like that. Like, you can have friend breakups, you know, anything like that. You're always going to experience grief because it's a painful thing to think about. And I did want to touch on the subject of friendship breakups as well, because
they are
just as important as any relationship breakup. So apparently the timestamp is to give, like, I would personally say never give yourself a timestamp when it comes to grief.
Everyone is different,
but they say that usually the acceptance mark comes around 3 months.
That's about right.
So it would be painful it's still going to be painful. It's still like a loss, but the acceptance stage will come about 3 months scientifically. So,
And just to touch on that before, like, we maybe move on and forget about it. Really do take that time. The number one mistake you can make is not allowing that time. And then I think the number one thing people do is reach out to people. They go on dating apps, they start seeing people when they're not ready, and you're putting your grief, you're putting your trauma onto other people and causing more damage. Like, try and avoid doing that. I know it's so easy just to get that instant, what's that word,
instant gratification.
And I think we touched on it before.
Yeah, I think the thing is that people, especially, I think when you're going through the bargaining stage, I would say, is like, oh well, I could have anyone I want, do you know what I mean? But then I think a lot of people don't take that time, regardless of whether it's 3 months, 2 years, to actually look at themselves in the mirror and go, I'm actually not over it, because they just stay in denial for the longest time. And I think it happens a lot more these days as well, because I stayed in denial for a really long time when I broke up with my first boyfriend, because then I had another one, and then I had a girlfriend as well. And honestly, I still was in denial until I was like, right, there's actually something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, I think it didn't help that I personally was in, like, on and off, like, for a very long time.
Every time I broke up
with someone new, I got back with the same person.
Yeah.
But it was never like we were together. It was just that kind of like, you're still there.
Yeah.
I could still go back to you if I wanted to.
I think that was a difficult thing for my one, because obviously my first heartbreak, really, was my first girlfriend. And that lasted like 6 years, pushing seven. So I was like 16 through to like 23. And it was so, when it finally ended, it was so hard to, one, find out who I was, because when you're 16, you're not really yourself yet. So my entire life, my entire personality, my entire existence was basically being with this person. We'd broken up so many times during it, and there was like, you know, I don't want to go into detail because it's not about the details, but there was a lot of cheating and breaking up and 1 month breaks, 2 month breaks. And when you're going through that for like 6-7 years, when you finally get to that last one, you're like, oh, she's, you know, it's going to come back round again. But then it never did. So that it actually took such a long time to actually realize, okay, this isn't coming back. Now I need to find myself.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I personally did. We have a very similar experience when it does come to heartbreak and breakups in romantic relationships, definitely, because I did exactly the same thing. It's like, it's expecting someone to come back, and then the realization they're never going to come back in the way that you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
Is painful. Like, yeah. They can still be there and still be begging for you, but you're like, you are not the same person that I wanted.
I experienced this, and it was the most alien thing to me, because I think, like, as I said, like, when I got to the end of, like, when we got to that, like, 6-7 year mark, we did get back together again for like a 3 or 4 month period,
and it's so weird.
And I remember going out for dinner and stuff, and you're looking at just a completely different person, and do you know what's crazy? It might not even be them. It might be you that's completely changed.
Yeah. It's a lot of people fail to realize that when it comes to change and growing yourself, like, you can fall out of love with people at any time, which is a very scary thing. But it's whether you decide to kind of try and get that spark back when it comes to relationships. I think people can deter and be different from each other, but, you know, as long as you're still really good friends and you've got enough in common, that's a point where your relationship is still going to work. Like, the difference between your first love and the love that you feel for someone who could potentially be your wife or your life partner, or, you know, not everyone wants to get married, but we've spoken about this 100%. It's so different. You know, your first love is like, it feels so painful because it's like you've never had these emotions before. And what you realize is that, you know, it's love, but it's not the type of love that you think is real.
Yeah, it's not like that instant, like, butterfly. Like,
it's not, it's never the same after that point. And if you're still reaching for that feeling that you got when you were with your first love, and feeling like, oh, like, I just don't know if I like them because, you know, they don't make my heart go fast. They don't, you know, that I'm not really excited to see them. I'm, you know, and I feel like that's what people search for after they've been through their first breakup.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they realize that a relationship isn't about feeling nervous around them, it's about feeling more comfortable.
Being 100% yourself, yeah.
And being someone's friend before anything else. Is so much more important. Like, obviously you still got to fancy them and stuff, but you know, it's the potential of actually being like, oh, you know, this is my best mate, but we also bang, and we also, you know, we just fucking, we're a team, and I love him. Like, that is so different.
That's directed me a bit.
And explaining that to my 14-year-old self,
yeah,
would be a fucking minefield. I'd be like, what? What do you mean? I thought it was supposed to be like roses and butterflies and kisses and sex and, you know, like, without actually knowing anything about that other person. Like, it's so weird. It's like you try and force yourself to be a version of yourself that you're not.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel, as we're saying. There always is.
There always is.
The heartbreaks I've been through, no matter what people tell you, you're like, no, you're wrong. This is it. Life is over. Every single time. Guaranteed, that is not the case.
Yeah.
But just before we move forward, there was something that we spoke about with people getting back together, right? And I feel like this is the thing that can really halt you healing yourself.
Yeah.
And breaking up, because I've been through it, and I'm sure we all have, where you break up and then you're just waiting for that moment to get back together.
Yeah, it's like, no matter what you say, you can sit there and go, fuck them, they're an asshole, I don't like them, blah blah blah, but there's still something. Like, the reason why you're shouting and why you're so angry is because you want them back. Like,
yeah,
you know what do kids do when they can't have something? They throw a tantrum because they're like, I want that. And it takes you back to being in your own childhood, and you're kind of like, why do I not get what I want? Because they wanted me at one point. And it's the level of not understanding, and that's the reason why people get so upset, because it's unknown, and people don't like the unknown. They don't like strange, they don't like change. Nobody likes change.
Yeah.
And that's what makes people literally have meltdowns, because they're like, I don't know how to cope with this.
Yeah. So I mean, in terms of getting back together,
sorry,
no it's fine. No, so I mean, in terms of getting back together, I don't think, and I think already earlier, there is no right or wrong answer to this, because I know plenty of couples that have broken up and got back together and it has worked. People that have got back together and it definitely hasn't. Like, I guess there is no lesson or advice I can give to avoid that fact. You have to learn for yourself, I guess, because every relationship is different.
I feel like definitely you do have to learn.
However,
if it's something that if there is so many things about that person that you've broken up with that just mean that you don't mesh well together, why are you trying to entertain a conversation, as exciting as it may feel, and all those little dopamine hits that that person's broken up with you, and they still can't, you might think they still want you, in inverted commas, for people listening on Spotify.
Yeah.
They don't. If they've broken up with you, for example, and they're still talking to you, they don't want you.
Yeah.
They want to keep you around just in case they can't find a better option.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. Like, they just want to keep you around and have you there because it's like, oh, if I can't get anyone else, then I've always got them. So I'm going to keep stringing them along and making them feel like, well, but there's a potential. And potential ruins people. You know, the opportunity is not an opportunity. It's a potential, you know?
Yeah.
And it's painful.
No, it's absolutely right. I think my first two breakups taught me everything that I needed to know, because I actually see on TikTok all the time, it's like, you got to stay silent, like, and she will come running back. That is absolutely bullshit.
No, you, like, stay silent until they literally, like, I had to pretend my ex has died, like, because I was like, I can't have this.
Yeah, so I mean, like, from my perspective, like, I was staying silent because I was told, like, if you stay silent, if you don't chase her, if you don't run after her, she will come back. And I think that actually, like, really hurt my breakup process, because I was sat there still thinking about her, like, all day, every day.
That's all you do.
But it was like battling with me staying silent, thinking, if I just carry on doing this, she'll come back. And that was my first breakup. My second one, it was actually me breaking up with her, because it just didn't feel right to me. Like, she never did anything wrong. We had a great relationship. It just didn't feel right. And we broke up. And I realized once we broke it up and I'd moved on, even, like, it hurts me to say, but it's the truth, I wasn't thinking about her.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that I was that guy the first time around, thinking, oh, she's still thinking about me. And she's going to come back.
You feel so bad because you've done it to someone else.
Yeah. But the truth is, they're not, if they've broken up with you, they're not thinking about you. So you just got to, you know, you've got to move on. Don't wait.
But since we spoke about kind of first loves, I want to talk about the second one. Mm. You know, you just touched on the fact that your other ex, you broke up with her.
Yeah.
I also broke up with my second boyfriend.
Mm.
If you've only just experienced your first love, your second love is the type of person, you know, it could be great. You could end up with them forever. But honestly, in my experience, second love was a fucking a mess.
Mm.
I was with this man because my ex-boyfriend hated him, which is a really good start to a relationship, guys. Like, it's probably the best start that you could ever have, is going for someone that your ex hates because you're trying to get back at them. You know, I was young. And this man was a psychopath. And I hate calling people psychopaths, but honestly, I don't usually call people psychopaths, but honestly, this man had, you know, he was just abusive, and he was like, mate, but this guy, he'd been given everything in his life, and I grew up very much povo, so I was like, I don't really understand. When I first went to his house, he lived in a 5-bedroom house with his mum and his cat, and I was like, how come you guys have money? And his mum was like a homophobic piece of shit, like, she's an old lady.
Yeah.
And then he used to always say to me, because at that time I'd like been kicked out of my house, he'd always say to me, well, my mum's taking you in, so you need to do what I say to you, basically. And then we ended up moving into a house, and I worked 3 jobs, and his mum paid for our flat 6 months up front, because I think it was just before my 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get a flat, so his mom had to pay 6 months up front. And then I was working 3 jobs, and I had to pay half my rent every month, and she was just transferring it back to him because he thought he was too good to get a job.
What? He was too good to get a job?
Yeah, he was like, he went to uni for 2 days a week, and I was like, well, when I was at college full time, I had to work. And he was like, yeah, no, I just think I'm better than all these jobs. And I was like,
that is a terrible way to be brought up.
I know. And I was like, I'm really sorry, mate, but how do you expect to come out of uni and get a job away when you've got no experience with work?
That is someone who thinks they can just walk into a 150k job. Anything else, then I'm not worth it.
Literally. But it's probably because his mum and dad were like that, you know, like, they had money. He's never known what not having money feels like. So when I found out that his mum was transferring him my money that I was working 3 jobs for, I was like, hell no, this boy for a hissy fit, like, literally screaming at me outside my work and like being like, you need to pay me my money. And I'm like, oh, sorry that you can't get your weed money, bro. Like, unfortunately, I'm out. So I got to New Year's Eve. There's loads of other stuff that happened, but I don't really want to talk about it. But we got to New Year's Eve and I literally, my work had told me, look, Bella, like, we've got another job for you that's near your mum's, if you can move back near your mum. And I was like, sure. So I went home after I finished my shift and he'd gone back to wherever his mum was for New Year's Eve, packed up my car, put everything in it and just left and never spoke to him again. So that's how I broke up with him.
Yeah. But we're back together now and all that's in the past and we're fine. Just confirm that wasn't me.
And I have no idea what that man's doing right now. I literally have no clue. Like, you know, he could be watching my podcast. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, with that upbringing, he's probably still unemployed looking for that first job. So
literally. He was a lot older than me as well. I think he was like 23 when he took like gap year.
Yeah.
But like not gap years. He just smoked weed for like 2 years and then was like, fuck, I need to go to university. But yeah, I wasn't too keen on him. And then, you know, after I'd left that situation, I didn't think about him at all again. Like, yeah. Just like you, I was just like, no, that's boring. But I think when you end something in your brain before, and then you end something in your brain way before you actually end it. And that's why in some situations you get over relationships very quickly.
You do. You just become
You've decided already, I don't want to be with this person. So that's the end of that. You know, it can take months and months for someone to then actually end up breaking up with them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary.
I mean, you see a lot of people say like, oh, I became cold. I became ruthless. I don't think it's like as harsh as that. Really? Like, I see, again, we probably get very different FYPs on TikTok, but...
Oh, he lands on TikTok.
Yeah, no.
Mr. But, Scientist, Jake Birkin,
lands
on TikTok.
No, but you see a lot of people say, like, you become harsh, become ruthless, like, and that's what you need to be. Like, I agree with that, but it's not as, like, harsh as that. It's like, you just learn what you want, who are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, coming out of my relationships, going back to my ex, coming out of my relationships, I then was like, maybe I need a therapist. Because I was like, this isn't right. So I went to therapy and I'll tell you what, weirdly enough, I got over everything that I'd done to people because I felt awful. Like, I think when I came to the realization that I was not over my first relationship, knowing that I'd pursued relationships with other people, regardless of whether they broke up with me, I broke up with them, or situationships, I felt bad. I was like, I can't believe I've done that to people. Like, what if I fucked people up as bad as they fucked me, as my ex fucked me up? And I'm not saying me and my ex had a bad relationship, because we really didn't. But it's the aftermath. I'm like, oh my God, if I've made someone feel like the way that I feel right now, I feel terrible. And obviously that's just weird guilt tripping to yourself. So I was like, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
So I spoke to the therapist about it. And you know, they've really helped me find out who I am and what I'm about and my own person. And I decided to be on my own for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, I was in relationships when I was 14 up until I was 22.
And this is the part, like, well, not the problem. Maybe it, like, I feel like everyone is made from their breakup.
Oh yeah, I like, couldn't be on my own. I physically had to be stuck to someone else for years.
But I think it teaches you to be on your own. You become who you are from these, like, like if anyone says they've never had a broken heart, or, you know, it's just one, I think that you're probably lying. But two, like, I think they're the most important times of your life, because that's when you solely focus on yourself and become the better version of yourself.
Because you don't have to fake it. Ever. You don't have to be like, I'm fine, and just pretend and try and do everything all at once like my ADHD brain tells me to do. You know, if something goes wrong, I'm like, let's do 20 other things. I'll be the best at everything. And then when I'm not the best, I have more depression because I'm not the best. And I'm like, what? Who told you I'm not good at anything? And then suddenly my brain's like, you're so rubbish. And then you're like, remember that thing that happened 20 years ago? And I'm like, yeah. And then I just go into a spiral. So yeah, don't like just decide one day that everything's going to be okay, because as we said, it takes a lot of time. But
I mean, just, this is going to sound deep as fuck, but this is also coming from 30.
You sound like such a Chad.
No, we've already established I'm not a Chad.
This is going to sound deep as fuck.
I sound like your ex.
Which one?
The one smoking weed on his gap year. This lasted 15 years. It's going to sound deep, bro.
This is gonna sound, he didn't even speak like that.
No, oh, right.
He spoke more like, my mummy's gonna find out about you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell my mummy on you.
Well, listen, this is gonna be really deep, right?
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I was gonna say, like, life is never gonna be amazing. Like, there's always gonna be ups and downs, whether that's relationships, whether that's work, whether that's your life. Like, you could, like, you just always know that. And that's what you should just enjoy life for, that fact. It is a bit deep, but he won't carry on.
That wasn't deep at all. That's just like a blanket. That's a blanket term.
Is it?
You opted out of saying the right thing.
I got distracted.
Yeah. Why, are you looking at my tits?
Huh?
You're looking at my tits?
Are, they are, they're ah. Lovely.
But... get out. Oh, for God's sake, we can't talk about breakups because I just love you too much.
Oh my God, cut that out.
Imagine if we broke up.
Well, it put this third love theory to shit, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you heard of the love theories?
We were just talking about.
No, we weren't talking about that.
We were. We talked about the first love, and the second love, who was your...
Yeah.
Your...
And then...
We talk about the first love.
Oh, yeah. This is an actual, like, scientific thing, by the way, guys. Like, your first love is, like, your first intense love. Second one is just a bit like me. Although, I think on the love scale, it says that the second love is the most hard.
Second love is the most hardest because you've learned from the heartbreak from the first one, and you feel like you're ready to make it right this time.
And then people just fuck it up.
Yeah, but then
AKA me.
It's just all no, but it's all yeah. It's still very rocky, apparently.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that to some degree. I mean, oh my God, I have the funniest story about my ex, the middle one.
Yeah.
So so you know how I said that he wouldn't give me. I had to give my money to him. So we had an argument one day and I was like, and he used to do this thing where he'd make me feel like I was crazy. So like he'd tell me that I'd said something and I hadn't said it. And I'd be like, huh?
Is that gaslighting?
Yeah. So kind of like that. I didn't know what gaslighting was at the time, but he would be like, you told me that you were going to send me the money and you said it yesterday. I'd be like, I didn't say that. And then when I was like, look, I found out that your mum's blah, blah, blah. He locks himself in the bathroom and he's like scream crying. And I'm like, just don't be so dramatic. I need to go to work. And so then I get a kitchen knife, like a little, like a fork and knife, kitchen knife, because we had one of those locks. So you have these locks in some house.
I thought this story was taking a very dark turn. Yeah.
It's
a butter knife, guys. Sorry.
It was a butter knife. That's what I meant. And so basically some of the new builds that you get, they have locks that have like a little divot in the middle, so they're like a little round circle on the outside of the door, and you can put the knife in to turn the divot to unlock the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone to go and unlock the door because I was worried that something bad was going to happen, because he constantly used to say that, you know, he was just going to end it and stuff like that, in regards to his life, when it comes to me having any sort of argument with him. So I was worried, went to go open the door. He's opened the door before me. He's pulled out. I've like gone like that with the knife, so backwards. And I'm like, shit. And he's like, you're trying to stab me. And I was like, in what world do you think I'm going to stab you with a butter knife? I was like, do you really think when I've got like bread knives that I'm gonna stab you with a butter knife? Do you reckon that gives me less of a sentence?
Is that why they call it blunt trauma?
But yeah, I was like, what the fuck? And I was just, oh my God, it's so...
I'm assuming this is towards the end.
It was about 3 days before I left, because
once you friend,
because I started just finding out more and more. This man is crazy. Like, no, I can't. I hate saying the word crazy. Yeah, he's not crazy. I think the thing is, I feel like when I went through therapy with this, I think he knew that I didn't love him as much as I loved him, and he knows that I didn't love him as much as he loved me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the reason why he was acting so erratically. Mm. You know, he'd do things like stalk me to work in case I was cheating. He had all of my iMessages downloaded on his laptop so he could see who I was talking to. Like,
it's almost like the breakup stage start. Like, and this happens a lot. Like, the breakup stage starts while you're still together. So it's almost like he reached his anger phase before you'd even broken up.
Yeah.
You could see the distance and he was like, trying to claw it back.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, I was grieving over being away from my family. I moved out at 17 and I had no friends. I mean, I had friends, but I got he convinced me that he was the only person that could ever look after me.
Mm.
So it was kind of, it was just a hard situation because I think I was going through the grief of feeling like I had no friends and family.
Yeah.
So I was trying to deal with that. And then that distance then made him feel like I didn't love him,
yeah.
Which I didn't, looking back on it, reflecting, mm. but I thought I did.
It was, it gave you that security that you desperately needed at that time.
Yeah, right. Definitely. It's just, yeah, you know, if you think about it that way. But yeah, then your third love comes.
Mm-hmm.
This is mine. I'm referring to Luke, our cameraman, if you're listening to YouTube. No, I'm only joking. Hello, my third love, and I decided to make a podcast with him. Because yeah. everyone...
The thing is, because it's hard to like comment on it because like you are also my third love. And it's like, okay, maybe it's true, but I you know, I don't want to talk. Oh, Luke's counting on fingers. It, third love? And you guys are married and have a child and there we go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is all going to go to shit when we break up by season three, but...
No, don't tell everyone about that. That's a stunt. That's
oh, yeah,
stunt.
It was a stunt.
Fuck. Publicity stunt for when we actually have subscribers that care about us. No. So yeah, your third love basically is just when everything goes right. It doesn't feel drastic. You know, you can communicate, you can look after.
Do you know what? I love what it says about your third love. It usually happens when we least expect it. And you literally, I cannot put a finger on that more. I mean, is yours the same, Luke?
Because ours literally came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I didn't want a relationship. I think I've sat there with Jake when we were being friends and me being like, I don't like men.
Oh, I just thought you met me personally.
I don't like you.
Just looking at me like, no, I don't like you.
The thing is, as I love men, I really, really do, but I never had that like feeling again, like of that. Mm. I didn't fancy people. I'm a very open book, but I'm so odd. Like I've never fancied anyone really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've spoken about this. It's like every time that I've been with someone, it's always been down to personality. And that sounds like such bullshit. And I know there's going to be loads of people out there who are like, oh, you can't just like not be physically attracted to someone. Like I literally am not. Hence why, because I don't see sexual attraction as like the be all and end all. Hence why I can do porn and why I can, and I don't see it as, because I could never be attracted to the person that I'm sleeping with for work because I'm too busy thinking about the fact that it's work.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, like it's just never going to work out. And I just never fancied people. It's like I'd put them into categories of like, this is the type of person who is my friend and I can only ever see you as my friend. And then when I realized that you could be friends and have a relationship, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of sick.
Yeah,
this
is.
So then, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like apparently the third love. So it's like you've learned everything that you needed to in terms of like what the red flags are.
Yeah.
Like what shouldn't be ignored, but then also like, okay, you're also not perfect.
Oh, yeah.
No one's perfect.
I consistently got told that I had too high standards when it came to things. And I was just like, I don't think so. I was like, you're literally betraying behavior that I don't find acceptable.
Mm.
And that's a you problem. Sorry. Mm. But it's better for me to tell you right now. Because we were talking about this the other day. We saw a podcast on TikTok and these guys were like, women always expect guys to take them to like sexy fish and like all the expensive bars and like wine and dine them. And I'm like, I couldn't think of anything fucking worse. I literally couldn't think of anything worse. Imagine you get there, he's got bad breath.
Mm.
He's insufferable. He's annoying. Because if you have a drink, at least you can go, right, okay, I'm going to leave now because we've had the drink. I'm not really that interested.
But you're at a really expensive restaurant.
You know, if you're sitting at a really expensive restaurant, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then also you get some men who expect that because they've paid for a big fancy meal that you got to sit on their dick. And I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do that today. You know, I think even when they get me a pack of port scratchings and a vodka and lemonade, they expect the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've had it many occasions where I've ended the day and just said, look, I just don't think that we're a good match.
Are you always that honest at the end of the day? Do you tell them there and then?
That's yeah, the right because there's no point in wasting someone's time, is there?
Yeah.
Like, ever. Because if you waste someone's time, you're limiting their opportunity to end up with someone who is really good for them. You know, don't um and ah about it and be like, oh, do I find them attractive? Do I want this? Do I want this? No, like, you don't. If yeah. if you're not like 100% sure that you're at least attracted to them, or at least you find them really funny, you know, you can't have this whole, oh yeah, but I could sleep with them. I could, oh, I really fancy them, but we're not connecting emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never going to work out.
No.
Like, or especially right now when people say that they're not ready for anything, and then they go on dates with people who want relationships, and it's like, all that is just giving you the silent with you. So anytime that someone says, I'm not ready for anything right now, any version of that, it just means with you. Like, I don't want that with you, but I'm going to carry on having sex with you, and I'm going to carry on doing this and this. And this is where people just get confused. I know this is the breakups episode, but it's how you end up breaking up.
Yeah.
Because regardless of whether you're in a situationship or relationship or friendship, you're breaking up.
Mm.
So, yeah, you just need to know what you want. And if you don't know what you want, I don't advise dating people.
So I think what we can take all of that and say is, yeah, when you get to just because you've had two loves before.
Yeah, just because you've had two doesn't mean you need to force the third one.
Yeah, don't force the third one. No, you are the right one. Come back.
Mm. So I want to touch on friendship breakups too.
Sure.
So have you ever had any friendship breakups? Because people really invalidate this.
I've had...
Are they also invalidate?
I've had a lot of friends that have become distant. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's both of us. And that's
but has ever actually affected you?
Just going different ways and stuff. But that's not a breakup because we are still friends. And we sort of bit like, they've just like, you know, we live our own lives now. And I think that naturally happens to everyone.
Yeah.
I've had maybe one or two people that I've considered friends that we broke up and we don't speak to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never affected me the same way as it has a relationship, because I just find it's a different kind of love, if at all. But if there is, I don't know whether it's because these friendship breakups happened after I've already had relationship breakups, I've already learned the triggers.
Yeah.
But it's almost like every time the two times it's happened, I can think in my head, I've been like, actually, there's a reason we're not friends. You did this, I can get over this pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And that's actually how I started to treat relationships before we met as well. Because it's just like, you learn these things and you learn what's what. And it's that almost that attitude. If you don't want me, I don't want you either.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I feel like friendship breakups are slightly different. I think where you've been taught to be more like, where I never really experienced like proper love from like family and yeah. things like that, where like, well, I did, but I wasn't like, my family aren't very close, and like, you know, I always had my friends.
yeah.
So I think I always valued my friendships over my family relationships, and I do see it more as grief.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if something happens and I don't end up speaking to someone anymore, it does really hurt me, like as much as a relationship does.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to, you know, whatever disagreement that you've had, you know, I see friendships as like, they should be unconditional, like family.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's the only thing that I've ever known, you know, all of my friends are like my family. And my best friends were the family members that weren't there when my family wasn't there. So when it comes to actually that feeling, I go through the exact same thing. Like, yeah. There's all the five stages. It's just not romantic.
I think that's fair. Again, and I think going back to your questions, me, then I would say probably no, I haven't, because I've got like three or four people that I would consider my friends, like my actual friends. You've got like, I've got loads of guys that I know, we get on, we're acquaintances. Like,
you're going to upset people.
No, I'm not saying any names. I'm not saying any names.
I thought we were friends.
No names are coming in.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
Do you know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man. Don't know where that came from. But yeah, like if one of those four I feel like our friendship is so close. Yeah, if I lost them, then yeah, I agree. I would probably go through something similar. Yeah.
Oh, that's painful.
Mm.
Yeah, I haven't really lost many friends, to be fair. I find it quite hard. I think my friends are ride or die, to be fair.
Yeah.
Most of them. So.
Yeah, mine's fast and furious all the way through. We're not friends.
When me and Jake first moved in together.
We're family.
When me and Jake first moved in together, he was astounded by the amount of time my friends spend with me at my house.
Yeah, I realised.
I'll just be like, oh, Josh, just pop over.
Yeah.
And he's like, why? Why are they coming over? Do we need to make dinner? Do we need to? I'm like, no, we're just going to come and sit and watch TikTok on the phone. On our own separate phones.
Still to this day, they're still downstairs. They're still downstairs. They never left. I always wonder why we got a three bedroom house. Now I know.
Wait, is it three? Yeah, it's three. Well, it's technically four, isn't it?
It's four. I was trying
not to. Because we're rich.
I was trying not to let it sound like a Tory, but there we go.
I'm not Tory.
No, I know. No, it was a joke.
I you sound like Alfie Days.
Who's Alfie Days?
Alfie Days from like old school YouTube days. When he's like, I'm not a Tory.
I'm not a Tory.
Yeah, so he did this challenge where it was like, you can only spend £1 a day on food, like in a pound.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, gone and used his YouTube privilege to go and get a free donut or something.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, I'm not a Tory. It's like a whole apology video.
I love those videos where like, I have to survive on £420 today in London.
Oh my God, that's mad.
Like, and then they go for the day, like, I just had about math money to scrape together to get a Ralph Lauren scarf. It was a pretty rare find and we got past the day.
Why is it when you do that voice, I think of your brother?
Because, yeah, he's Hugh Grant, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, my God. If any lady's like Hugh Grant, Jake's brother looks just like him. Like, it's actually mad. And
should we shout him out? Put his socials here.
No, so, like, honestly, so I met Jake's brother, not knowing he was Jake's brother, at an event that we went to.
Mm.
And I was sitting there talking to this guy, and I was like, you look just like Hugh Grant. So I was drunk, and I was like, yeah. And then he was like, oh, I've never heard that before. And then he goes, oh, did you meet my brother? I was like, who?
Yeah.
He was like, oh.
The funny thing is he's owned that ever since. I'm pretty sure he changed his hair and everything. He's now living up to the...
He really is.
The Hugh Grantness.
I see you. maybe he went through a breakup and now he's had a drastic change.
He's been through many a breakup, but he's had a very different breakup. I mean, most of the breakups he's had have actually just been down to his own... his own doing. He's like, every time he breaks up, he's like,
I see, so I'm the problem.
he's just like, oh, I'm going traveling, and then his relationship ends, but then he ends up getting another relationship that's been going on for like 4 or 5 years.
Why are you outing your brother?
No, he's had some heartbreaks as well. He's a good guy. Aww. He's a free spirit.
Yeah,
bless him.
Oh, poor boy.
Yeah, he was actually a lot better at putting women than I was. Can you believe it?
It's because he looks like Hugh Grant.
Fair enough. And I look like, oh,
although the advantage that you've got over your brother is the fact that he's a short king.
He's not that short.
He's quite short.
Well, he's like
the same height as me.
Yeah. What do I look like? The rat from Flushed Away, isn't
it? Yeah, Roddy nice. From Flushed Away.
Luke's acting like he agrees as well. I never even
seen just like the rat. From
but the
Flushed
thing
Away.
Is, what is mad? I've actually had this about his 10 times
Roddy.
Now. I think two people
and
in Mexico said it.
He's known as the most attractive cartoon character.
Is that a compliment?
Roddy. Here he is. For those on YouTube, I found a picture of
this
him.
Is why I dyed my hair. It's trauma.
But yeah.
Anyway, as we always do, going too far left field.
Okay, so let's talk about celebrity breakups.
Oh, okay.
Thinking about how would you feel if you were a celebrity and everyone was documenting your... Because remember we spoke about Hailey Bieber?
Yeah,
so I had to write down a little diagram about Hailey Bieber.
That was
fine.
I've never witnessed so. So we were sat in this bar in Mexico, and she just asked this waiter, like, can I have a pen and paper? And I'm like, why do you need a pen and paper? And then she gets this, like, she starts drawing this brainstorm on the table of, so you've got Hailey Bieber here, you've got Selena here.
And Justin Bieber.
And Justin Bieber.
Oh my God, my TikTok For You page at the moment has literally been covered in Hailey Bieber drama with Selena Gomez. And I'm like, I'm into this. One thing about me, I love gossip.
Mm.
Not when it's like attacking. I don't like when people attack other people. But I love gossip. I love celebrity gossip and blind items and things like that. I love it. But I just think, like, imagine being in the public eye and, like, you're in so much pain and then somebody's like, ha!
Yeah.
She's got fat after the breakup. I'd be like, ha! What do you mean?
I feel like celebrities must just get used to it and shut themselves. Because what was the one I... Was it Wayne Rooney and his missus? I think that was a few years ago.
Oh, my God. Do you know he used to... I saw blind items about Wayne Rooney. Apparently, he used to... he spiked one of the footballers in Man United with Viagra before they played. Like, some Shrek-looking motherfucker has the balls to cheat on Miss...
Do you reckon that... Colleen. I've already cracked that one. I reckon that's just trauma for being, like, an ugly kid. I reckon he was an ugly kid, couldn't pull anyone. Now he's rich, and now he's getting all the girls. And it was just like, there, I cracked it.
I don't think he gets all the girls. I think he pays for prostitutes.
Yeah, he's still with his wife, though, now. I think they're happy again now, aren't they? Is it Colleen?
Colleen, yeah, she's fit.
Yeah, I think they're back together now, and I think it's all worked out.
Yeah. To Wayne Rooney getting girls. He doesn't get them. He pays for them.
Yeah.
Just to make that clear.
Mm.
So, ugly men out there, if you feel like you're ugly,
apparently.
You don't need money to get women. You need money to pay for prostitutes. That's all you need money for. Girls don't like you just because you have money.
Which is apparently half the UK rap scene, I hear.
Oh! Given Fredo. I know this is not a gossip podcast, but I have one more thing to say. Fredo, if anybody saw that, some OnlyFans girl had come out and been like, he offered to fly me out for 15 grand and he put up a video being like, I never said that. Weirdly enough, I've gone on to go and expose him for the second time because I tried to expose him before and then he was like, no, I've never done that. Like, he used to beg for me to fly out to wherever he was, have sex with him, like all that shit. And I was like, no, you're so desperate, just leave it. And then I went back on to go re-expose him and he blocked me. So obviously this had really got to him. He was like, right, I can't have anybody else thinking that I've messaged them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, that man, it's him, Scotty T.
Oh, we're just rolling names now.
Callum Best is the worst.
That's not surprising. I think everyone knows that one.
No, everyone in the OnlyFans industry does, but nobody knows Callum Best. Like, everyone knows Callum Best is a creep. Who's that guy from EastEnders?
Oh, Gaffney.
Yeah.
Dean Gaffney.
He's another one who messages all the OnlyFans girls. So, yeah, basically, there's just like... Apparently, for the gays of OnlyFans, it's Tom Daly.
You told me about this. I can't believe this.
Yeah. So we talk, celebrities. I know you're not going to be listening to this, but yeah. And if anybody asks me for proof, they can fuck off.
To be fair, yeah. I've seen some crazy DMs.
Crazy DMs. Yeah. I get really lower league footballers all the time as well. And they're like, I'm a footballer. I'm like, no, you're not. you're literally not. I get like people being like... Oh, if Arsenal win the league, because obviously Arsenal fan, if Arsenal win the league, are you gonna fuck with the football players from Arsenal? I might put me in touch then. Like, what do you want me to? I just spat.
Nice.
Do you want to lick it?
No.
Odds on.
Okay.
Okay, one and two.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. One, two.
Fuck.
Suck my finger. Yeah, he just sucked my finger for the people on Spotify. He just licked my spit. Right, we're really off topic.
Breakups.
I also put stuff on Instagram to ask my people.
I did as well.
You did?
I have, to my 1,000 followers. And I had one reply.
Raw, man. Okay, so I asked, give me your breakup stories.
Yeah.
So one of my friends, I always call people on Instagram my friends. I don't know all of them. No. I'm like, this is my friend. It's just because I've seen their Instagram before. So her boyfriend, apparently, she took him on holiday.
Yeah.
And then he came back and then went and cheated on her with a minor the day after they got back from holiday.
I don't know where to begin on this story. Is it the cheating or the paedophilia?
And the paying for the holiday.
When you say minor, And the what?
She paid for his holiday.
Like, actually paid for
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on
and
here?
And then Mans who's got a fucking... Mate, I can't believe it.
When we say minor...
When I say minor, I mean child, under 18. Someone who can't...
Yeah.
Okay, over the age of consent, but under the age
okay.
of...
So we're not like having to go to police again after this podcast. I feel like we've got a running list of people that I'm sending in.
The police are like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
We're running out of space.
Yeah.
All these teachers getting kids to rub their feet and all sorts.
The person who took my virginity. Yeah. Nah, serious. So... What the fuck? Why are people like that?
I know.
And imagine being like, I'm going to leave my perfectly good, healthy relationship.
Yeah.
And being like, but that 16-year-old looked bad though.
Oh my God. That 16-year-old looked bad though. how looks done.
It right. bounced when she walked.
Composure.
Okay.
This is a breakup story. So okay. I mean, I can imagine that this is a fairly easy one to get over though, right?
No, I mean it would still be really painful because you think.
How long were they together?
Don't know. Didn't say.
How old were they roughly?
25.
26, I think. Yeah. I still think though, if you've got someone who's that fucking stupid and that much
no,
of an
but
asshole,
I would get the ick.
That's what I mean.
I would be like, ugh.
That's what I mean.
Then obviously the difference is that you know them as their person. So I feel like I would get the ick and I'd be angry, but I'd still be like, well, that's weird because I don't know you as a paedophile.
Yeah.
last time I checked you didn't like kids, like you said you didn't want kids.
Well, what I would say to this person is just I mean that story is everything you need to get over this one pretty swiftly.
Yeah, I think the thing is it will be the initial feeling of shock, and I think shock will be fueled like it sounds like you're already going through the second stage, which is anger. So you know it's going to go quite quickly. You just need to let yourself heal for a bit. And then that will be that. Okay.
Yeah.
Finished with me. I mm-hmm. fucked his best friend 4 years later. We are engaged with two kids and his bestie.
Okay. Breakup story.
So she broke up with him. He broke up with her and then she married his best friend.
2 years later though. They got together four years later.
No. Oh yeah, he fucked his best friend, and then 4 years later, they're engaged. His best friend.
Right. Sorry, I'm getting confused. So he fucked his best friend.
No. Why are you so?
I'm so confused.
You're so confused.
Right. Start again.
He finished with her.
He finished with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
She fucked his best friend.
Yeah.
4 years later.
Yeah.
They're married with kids.
Okay.
So she's married to his best friend.
Yeah. That's, I wonder if they're still friends. I'm assuming not.
Can you reply right now?
Yeah. Are you still friends?
So yeah, I mean,
we'll give the follow up to that story next episode.
We said this the other day though. We were given some juicy gossip. I was given some juicy gossip from Jake about this person that we know who's like, who's doing something along those lines.
Right
he's
now,
he's looking at me like I shouldn't be saying this.
No.
And I said I don't know how you can break up with someone and like go for their best mate because surely you'd want to be on your own. Like, you wouldn't want to be affiliated with the person that
you've
broken up with.
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't associate yourself with people that they're really good friends with because they're just going to be in your life forever.
Yeah.
Like, even if it does go well, it'd just be fucking annoying.
You're just causing more...
It's like having sex with a brother's friend.
But again, I think this is that immediate reaction of you've broken up with someone and it's like your immediate reaction is you need that comfort from someone else. And where is the easiest place to get that? From someone you know really closely
but
as well.
That bro's not a bro.
No, he's not a bro.
Fuck no.
That bro is a hoe.
Right. Odds on.
Okay.
Not odds on, but kind of odds on.
Mm-hmm.
How many of your friends do you reckon would fuck me if we broke up?
I reckon 9 out of 10.
Whoa!
I reckon.
The statistics are.
I think so.
Yeah, but they could just see me naked for a tenner.
No, that's true.
Do you reckon they do?
$9.99. $7.99 on sale.
Did you put a $7.99 sale on?
There's only 50 spaces. It's fine.
Are you joking?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I was trying to sell your OnlyFans. You just ruined it. It's not on sale. It'll be on sale soon. Keep an eye out.
Not $7.99 sale. Because there's a free fucking. But yeah,
I don't, no. 9 out of 10. I don't know. So actually, to rephrase this question, no. Right. So actually, as I stated before, I've got four people that I consider my friends, and zero of those would. Why are you looking at me like you disagree? Which one?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah. I reckon your friends are snaky.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well, they're already in your demons. Is that something I should know?
No. Oh my God. I've got, since getting off that plane, bloody.
But yeah, in terms of like guys that I know and stuff, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not funny. I don't think any of my friends would chag you.
That's fair. I mean, they all did it before we got together, so it's fine.
Yeah, Jake shagged all my friends and went for me last. Somewhere down the line, one of my friends gave me chlamydia. So,
moving on.
yeah, that's bait. I like.
Wait, just go back. Would you shag one of my mates if we broke up?
No, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near you.
Yeah.
Who would get the cat if we broke up?
Cats be soon.
Me.
We've got a new baby coming.
I would. Oh yeah, we're pregnant.
We're pregnant.
With a baby cat.
We've got a white cat. Bengal on the way.
Yeah.
His name is Slim.
Yeah, you'll get to meet him in a couple of weeks.
After Slim Shady.
Yeah, he's white. Really? He's a white boy. but yeah, should we round this episode up? I feel like we've kind of gone through a bit of everything. And it's been painful. I'm not going to lie. I've started thinking about my past trauma. Good thing I've got therapy tomorrow.
Yeah. That is one of the things as well. I think do not turn your head against therapy, because I think we've talked about my previous relationships, as you do when you get together. Turns out that I think I gained a lot of trauma from that. And
I'm not saying our relationship is perfect, because it's actually not. But it's one thing that we realised is that I think... tell me whether this is unfair to say, but when we got into the relationship, I think you didn't realize that you weren't 100% over things that had happened to you previously.
Yeah, no,
and
like,
it's like
your
natural thing by being in a relationship after all this time was to instantly think that I was like how your exes were. And it's obviously taken a couple of months for me to be like, hey, like I'm literally not an ex. Like,
yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that happens when you don't kind of face the fact that you've got something wrong. So yeah,
and it's things I realize as well, and you know, being completely open and honest, it's like I am actually thinking about going to a therapist and talking about it, because I think there are some things underlying that I think do still like pinch me or flick me into a mood, and it's all coming, and I can see it's coming from privilege, but I actually want to try and speak to someone about it and see if I can just unravel that trauma a bit. I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with
that. There's actually nothing better than that. I think it was, if you would have known about it, that this is something that triggered you anyway, then you wouldn't have got into a relationship with me. So that makes me very lucky. But it also makes me very lucky to know that you're going to do something about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that it's a huge problem. No. And like, but it's healthy to know when you need, and usually therapy, you will need therapy when you feel better. So when you feel good and you're not going through the most painful part of anything, any situation or anything like that, that's the point where you need therapy, because you're actually open to speak about it. You know, when something first happens, there's no point really in going to a therapist until you get to the stage where you accept that the way that you feel is how you feel. So yeah, and that's one thing that I'd recommend. If it gets too bad, once you've got past the part where you feel like you've accepted it, but you're still thinking about them maybe a couple of years later, and you're thinking my relationships are never going to be the same as that one, you're creating an idealistic version of what your relationship used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the best thing is to talk to someone about it.
Yeah.
Explain to your partner what you've been through, your new partner, if you have one. Keep your friends close. Have your friends around to help you, and don't listen to your friends if they tell you you can do better, you can do this, because you know, you can say, well, I did what I did and I've learned something from it.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing about having ex relationships, friendships, whatever, is the fact that you take that situation and you learn from it, and you can, that's it.
And advice, you've got
a life lesson.
And just final advice for those that are going through that breakup now. I mean,
wrap yourself in a blanket for a couple of days. Cry about it. Literally cry all you want. I don't care if you're a man, you're a woman, or you're non-binary. Just cry. You're like, you're allowed to. It's fine to cry. It's okay. And then once you're ready to stop crying about it, that's like, then start trying to do something that's different. Maybe get something to do, a hobby, or you know, don't just jump into dating apps and think that it's gonna.
Yeah, try not to bring your trauma to other people. A lot of people say, you know,
that's not saying that you can't talk to friends about it, but find people that you can trust and literally let, like, you need someone who will allow you to talk about them as much as possible. Because you, when you do go through that anger phase, you're going to get that whole thing like, oh, she just keeps talking about him.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about her, keeps bringing her up, you know, like Simon in The Inbetweeners when he's like, if you mention Carly, I'm going to hit you in the balls. Like, it's like that. But like, you need someone who can literally just let you vent. That's it.
And in terms of music recommendations for those first two stages, stage number one, The Script. Honestly. Those guys have taken me through some shit. Yeah, they're sick.
I'm the man.
Or was it The Six Stages of Separation? That song.
I don't know that. Is it 13 Degrees?
Is it that one?
13 Degrees.
Those are The Stages of Separation. Anyway.
I don't know that song.
Number one, once you're past that stage and you reach the anger phase, Eminem's your guy. That guy has taken me through some shit.
Should we end the note on what our breakup songs were specifically?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go on then.
Oh, you go first. I can't remember the name.
Okay, so mine was Banks, Someone New.
Yeah.
And the 1975 Medicine were my two breakup songs.
Yeah.
And then when I got into the anger stage, it was Bliss by Flatbush Zombies.
Yeah, you've told me that, so it's a good song.
Yeah.
What's the one by Maroon 5? Not Payphone. Oh, Payphone.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but then it's like, you know what? She's not there. Fuck you.
If happy ever after did exist, I would still be holding you like this.
See, it's powerful.
Okay. Yeah. Go on then.
I can't remember the script. Like, I can actually just like play their like top, their top played on Apple Music. Just have that on repeat and you'll. That will solve you out. And then, yeah, just a lot of Eminem through the anger stage, because especially the ones where he's going at Kim. It's just like, you know what?
Fucking I love Kim. I forgot about Kim. Kim was another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that concludes today's episode, guys. But you just got to remember to have fun.
Stay safe.
And always get consent.
It's been 3 weeks. Forgot a catchphrase.
Three words.
I'm so jet lagged. Can we sleep now?
No. Oh yeah. I like it. Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two nights stand, baby.